few times during this week, as we've done a check-in in our Zoom meetings, and I think that's a very good habit. I hope we'll continue doing it in our gatherings online and in person when the time comes. I reflected in my check-ins that time seems to be going by really quickly at the moment, even though every day seems the same. Days seem to be rushing by. Nothing seems to be going slowly, and the days, I kind of lose track. And I've had a few nods when I share this, so I'm hoping that I'm not saying something that no one relates to whatsoever, because it seems that we are rushing through our world with insatiable appetites for things to happen. We are bombarded with information, entertainment, 24-hour news cycle. We're encouraged to want more, to buy more, to look and be a certain way, to consume, to experience, to desire more, and to have it all now. We want instant fixes to our problems. We want answers while we don't actually get around to wrestling with the questions. And we want it now. Or to quote the activist theologian Robin Henderson Espinoza out of context, we are beholden to the tyranny of the now. And into this comes what I think is a really helpful part of the church year, a time of waiting. That oh, too brief 10-day period of waiting between Ascension and Pentecost. It's not like Lent or Advent. It's not a time of preparation, at least if we enter into the narrative of today's readings. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, Jesus opens up his disciples' minds to the meanings behind the scriptures and the calling to proclaim the gospel. But first, they are to stay, to wait, until clothed with power from on high. And then if we go on to that second ascension account, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we see again Jesus giving them the instruction to wait until what he calls, and he doesn't make it clear, the promise of the Father. We know now with hindsight the gift of the fullness of the Spirit is poured out in that story of the first Pentecost. But they didn't know that. And they do indeed wait. If we look at the end of that gospel reading and go further into the reading from Acts and into the book of Acts, we will see that the disciples spent their time in the temple praying and blessing God in their waiting. This is a different quality of waiting. It is charged, it is expectant, but it is still waiting. They didn't set up a task team to investigate the meanings of the promise of the Father or the idea of power from on high. They didn't form an action plan or work on their outcomes. They waited, they paused, they listened, they prayed. And in a world of instant fixes, of not wanting to dig deep but to slide along the surface and deal only with what immediately presents itself, in a world that invites us to be distracted by shiny gifts or to be constantly entertained by internet streaming, the act of waiting is itself countercultural and a prophetic act against a consumerist, shallow approach. And without that waiting, if the disciples had just got on with what they wanted to do, they would never have been equipped to fulfill their calling. They would not have encountered that transformative energy which we call the Holy Spirit, which made it possible for the life of the divine to be revealed abroad in a new and world-changing way. One of the aspects of waiting is not just having patience, but learning to prepare our hearts and minds for what is possible beyond our current world. Waiting is also a great equalizer, for there are no experts in waiting. We all recognize our need to be together and to be open to what might be, not what we know or what we think we know, but a world of new possibilities. We are a waiting church. Waiting is a place of receptivity, of dropping prejudice and what we think we know and being open to what God might make possible. Like those first disciples, though, we don't wait without hope. On the first blush, losing Jesus should have been a blow to them. The pain of having encountered the risen Christ only to seemingly have him snatched away or sent up into orbit, if we take stories literally. Instead, their hope was strong. They knew something was coming, but they did not know what. They went on to celebrate in their waiting. We read in the gospel that they straight away walked away rejoicing. We are being called as a church to wait, to reflect, to listen, and to pray, to be open to one another and to the Spirit. As a church dealing with difficult issues within and around our own community, as a group of pilgrim dancers on a shared dance of faith within a broader church undergoing massive changes, dealing with huge challenges. And of course, because we cannot avoid this, as part of a world going through pandemic. Yes, we are waiting through pandemic, waiting for vaccines to reach the majority of the population and the world, and I have mine on Thursday, hooray, my first jab. Waiting for the next step of the health guidelines and medical orders, waiting to see what is to come next, what this new normal will look like as we move towards a post-pandemic world, and hopefully it won't just be the old normal with vaccines. For the world we lived in 16 months ago was not in any way the normal we should be hankering after or endorsing. Vast social injustice, racism, intolerance and bigotry, denial of truth and lack of accountability within our governments and from the richest in our world. Violence perpetuated on individual, societal, national and international scales. The continued destruction of the earth, the exponential rise of corporation culture, the continuing demonization of the poor and exclusion from society for those who do not buy into the majority's norms. That and more should not be the new normal. And we are being called, I believe, to challenge the old normal that we may genuinely create a new, equitable, compassionate, inclusive, just normal. If we spend all of our time wanting the next thing to happen, wanting to have more, to do more, then we will fail at waiting, never allowing ourselves what is to come, not learning from the wisdom of one another, not growing in curiosity and imagination, and missing out, perhaps, on the possibility of transformation, settling instead for the predictable, the comfortable, the simple solutions which don't really satisfy the greatest needs, which can't bring us to healing or wholeness in all its fullness. Next week, our formal period of waiting as the church in the church year comes to an end, when the story of the outpouring of the Spirit and the transformation that follows can enthrall us once again. But for us, I encourage us to stay in that place of being open to waiting, to being curious, to being imaginative as individuals and as a church, in order that the waiting may bring about the power from on high, the power of transforming love that comes from the heart and from the renewing of minds. Thanks be to God. May God bless us in our waiting.